Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Five on the floor, ride for my dogs. Where here's the thing, you can check the score. Hustle hard, couple scars, wearing bubble frogs. Just like Buckley said, you in trouble, y'all. Kept the floor playing, got an all band. Y'all seen the block, stop with one hand. And Pat, we trust, it's power, have the guts. We here to bring the heat, y'all can hang it up.
Welcome to Five on the Floor, a daily insider show on the Miami Heat and the NBA, featuring Ethan Skolnick, Greg Sylvander, and Alex Toledo, plus others from the Five Reasons Sports Network.
Welcome back to Five on the Floor. I am Alex Toledo. No Ethan Skolnick tonight. No Greg slash Leif Sylvander. We've got what Ethan labeled the kids for whatever reason. I'm damn near 30, unfortunately. I've got Brady Hawk here with me. I've got my guy Major Passons here with me, and we're gonna go over a 98-91 Heat loss in Philadelphia. I mean, wasn't one of the best games to watch, really. It was a tough start. That was kind of like the first red flag, was the way it started this game. It just was kind of in the mud to begin with, and you know, it's tough because you're missing a lot of guys, and we'll get to that later on in the injury report, missing a whole lot of guys. And you know, it changed a lot of things up for the Heat, especially their rotations. But overall, very sloppy game. You finish with 15 turnovers, which is really weird for the Heat. Like, they're consistently throughout the Jimmy era, they've been pretty good at not only forcing turnovers, but holding on to the ball a lot better than other teams for the most part. They're usually in the top 10, and or I should say bottom 10 in turnover percentage. And, you know, that's, they kind of went away from their identity tonight in that, you know, aspect. And I feel that's something you can't be doing when you're missing so many guys, when you're missing Jimmy, Tyler, Jovic, Love, not to mention, you know, Jay Rich, who's been out, all that. It's just, you look at, like, the three-point shooting, it was pretty good throughout the game. They ended up finishing 36% from three, but the finishing at the rim, man, they ended up finishing the game 14 of 33 within 4 feet of the basket, which is 42%. I don't know how you get to, like, how you finish 42%. At the rim, that it just seems hard to do almost, right? Like they're so bad at converting on the easier shots. And I know there was some missed foul calls and people were upset about that. And then not only that, like they've been consistently missing 4 or 5 free throws in the past few games, more easy shots that you're kind of passing up. You know, the transition numbers are never really great with them. They ended up finishing with a decent like transition offensive rating, but it was like, you know, up and down at best. So it just feels like everything was in the mud outside of their three-point shooting, which is like, again, okay, it's not like they were on fire or anything. Duncan didn't have like an amazing game before he got hurt, right? And then you ended up finishing with Patty Mills closing the game and Thomas Bryant playing like half of the fourth quarter. So very weird game tonight. We're going to get to more stuff. And I want to set up Brady and Major here. Major first, I'm going to set you up first with the Rock Esports Gamer of the Night.
And now on Five on the Floor, it's time for the Gamer of the Night, sponsored by Rock Esports Center, the place to eat, drink, and play all day. Host your next birthday party with them. Located at 15305 South Dixie Highway in Palmetto Bay, they've got a 5,500-square-foot state-of-the-art center equipped with all the high-end power. Play all-day passes available for just $25, but if you mention Five Reasons, it's just $20. So mention Five Reasons or 5RSN, you get to play all day for $20. And now, the Gamer of the Night.
All right, Major, I'm sorry that I have to come to you with this. And I know it's been tough for you in the times you've been on the show. But yeah, who's your Gamer of the Night?
I mean, the best player on the court was Maxi. He started out on fire. Was like 17 points in the first quarter, and they didn't do anything to make him uncomfortable. Like, you can't let a microwave scorer like Maxi just get open shot after open shot to start the game and get exactly where he wants to go, because that's then where you get that, you know, downhill snowball where then he's hitting the tough ones and there's just really nothing you can do. But I didn't think there was a single point throughout the night where Maxi was uncomfortable for a long stretch of time. He was just consistently getting exactly what he wanted, no matter who was on him. Especially that first quarter, you just can't have an avalanche from one player like that. It's the one guy on the team that you have to stop, and you're just letting him get 17 in the first quarter and letting him start out on fire. Like, that's just unacceptable. The rotations were poor, but Maxi, I mean, he did great. He did everything he was supposed to do. He had a lot of rebounds, a lot of assists. Obviously scored at a really high clip. So I thought Maxi was the best player on the court.
Yeah, it's hard to disagree. Maxi went off in a lot of different ways too. It wasn't just like, oh, he got hot from three. He went 3 of 10 from three, amazingly enough, because it feels like he hit more than he missed. But when you look at the way he finished inside the arc, 7 of 14, you know, got to the free throw line 5 times. And then you mentioned the assist there. And the rebounds, obviously a plus for them too, which the Sixers are not a good rebounding team, especially without Embiid. And, you know, the assists, the 10 assists and 3 turnovers, it's one of the bigger indicators that you just didn't do a good job on him. Like, not only the way that he converted, but, you know, you turning him into a playmaker in that sense, because he's like, that's the scouting report on him, right? Because he's not like an amazing passer. You want to send help at him. And there was a lot of zone tonight, a lot of zone. Like I said, weird lineups, but. So it wasn't representative of, like, who they are when they're healthy, but still, the execution was not great. Not only that, you got 22 points from Kelly Oubre, along with 11 rebounds and 3 assists and 5 blocks. I mean, what a game for Oubre. And then Kyle Lowry, the guy, I mean, as the game went on, he kept getting better and better. He showed off, like, the stuff that he used to do here with, like, the way that he can grift his way into certain foul calls and doing it in a comedically funny way. Just it makes me laugh every time, and it always did when he was here. You hate that it happened against your team. You know, 3 of 5 from 3, 6 of 12 from the floor. When was the last time Kyle went 6 of 12 from the floor, like in a Heat uniform? Like, it's been a while. He had a great game against you, and it's tough to, you know, all three of those guys just killing you like that. It's tough to go over. And, you know, want to give some love to Bam here, 20, 13, and 6. He would have been player of the night if the Heat would have found a way to win. But you know what? He didn't even touch the ball in the fourth quarter, it felt like. So that's, to me, a big part of why they lost, but we can get into that later. Brady, what were your general takeaways from this game? And if you want to kind of add to any of the stuff we were talking about there with Gamer of the Night.
So, I mean, number one, the turnovers. Like, you just cannot play in a game like this, as much as they talk about it being in the mud. They turn the ball over way too much. You cannot play in that type of turnover battle, and you cannot turn the other team over and be that bad scoring off turnovers in terms of the transition game and kind of capitalizing off that. You just cannot have that happen consistently in games like this when you're already feel like you're undermanned. And then I'm glad you went to the Bam thing, because I feel like that needs to be talked about like mostly from this game, is the fact that he was great in that first quarter. He was, you know, he hit the corner three. He was clicking, he was hitting kind of turnaround jumpers, he was active. I felt like his confidence is kind of hitting, you know, is peaking. And the fact that you kind of make your run in the fourth quarter, Thomas Bryant comes out, Bam comes in, and he does not get a shot attempt in the fourth quarter, that can't happen. It does not matter if you're trying to play this three-point shooting game because you're trying to get back into the game, that's not what you do. That's not what you do, especially with the lineup that you have out there where you don't have Duncan Robinson out there, which I think it was because of he had back discomfort, so he was kind of came out of the game. That's why Patty was closing. Patty struggled, obviously, in this game, and he struggled down the stretch. They didn't have like the spot-up shooters that was going to just revolve and say, okay, we're going to run pin-downs and handoffs and pull up threes consistently, even though Terry got a couple to drop on that one stretch. You have to play your game, and your game is Bam Adebayo. Your game is Bam playmaking for you. Your game is Bam in the mid-post trying to get things going in the paint. And the fact that they went away from that is just wild. Like I'm looking at this 91-point box score, and there's no other reason to point at that than you have to stay with your system and your game, and it felt like they got away from that. So you have guys like Caleb, who I think kind of sums up this game well, who he played really well defensively. He was all over the place. He had a bunch of steals, bunch of blocks, played gritty, but the turnovers that he had, like he kept like he was just punching, he was shooting himself in the foot every time he made a good play. So that kind of summed up, it felt like, what the Heat were doing. So yeah, that was kind of the big one. And then Jaime, I feel like, really struggled in this one. And I think that's what we're probably going to get into the conversation about the foul calls and the whistle and everything. Because look, I asked Spo about it, not even meaning to ask him about this specifically, but I asked him about Jimmy's free throw attempts because they were down. And he basically was like, I didn't get the memo. I didn't get the memo from the league that they're not calling as many fouls. And he went on this kind of rant. And then obviously this all got put out there about the foul calls, and we're seeing this come into fruition. They really are being a lot more lenient, and that hurts a lot of their players. Like Jaime's one of them. Jaime's a physical player. Jaime's not a player, even though Jimmy, you know, gets the line a ton. Jimmy finds ways to maneuver and find ways to score. Like he'll make it easier for himself. He will search for a mismatch. He'll find a smaller guy. He will post that guy up. Jaime does not do that. I say it all the time. Jaime does not search for smaller defenders. Jaime just goes at who's ever in front of him, and it caught up to him in a game like this because he's going at guys like Mo Bamba and Kelly Oubre, and they're going straight up on him, and they're getting blocks, and they're not getting the usual foul calls he gets. So, you know, that was pretty clear to me. And then, look, you're without Tyler, without Jimmy, you're without Kevin Love. You can't really survive, I think, as we've seen, a down Duncan game. We talked about it after the Detroit games, how good Duncan was and why he barely kind of pushed them over the top to win those games. When you play a team like this, you need your shooting. You need Duncan. He struggled to start. Then obviously the injury didn't help, but that pretty much summed it up for me. It was just the defense did pretty much enough, but they just kept hurting themselves with the turnovers and everything else in the way they played.
Agreed. I thought the defense had a lot of good moments outside of the Maxi stuff, really. Even again with Oubre and Lowry like playing well, I thought like there was a lot of good moments throughout the game. It was just too up and down because like the offense just never really got in a great rhythm. Like I think the only time it looked decent was, you know, was honestly, I don't even feel like there was any point in the game where it was looking great. But like you had the second quarter where you outscored them by 6, but you started off getting outscored by 8 in the first, and you get outscored by 12 in the third quarter, right? Just tough to come back from when you're missing this many guys. But yeah, like they looked good in the zone at times, but they used it a whole lot. And Thomas and Patty were in a lot of those lineups. Thomas, Patty, and Terry played a good amount together, and they have as of late, and they did it to start the fourth quarter for the first few minutes. Like, again, these are weird circumstances.
Hey, it's Ethan Skolnick for 5 on the Floor and the 5 Reasons Sports Network. We know that the Miami Heat, they're typically pretty careful with their money. They don't overpay for players, kind of keep it in the range, but there have been mistakes. Think back to Hassan Whiteside, James Johnson, Deion Waiters, to name a few. Well, you don't want to make a mistake with your hard-earned cash. You don't want to get a service or a product that's overpriced or underperforms. That's why we recommend Harry's. Harry's razors, I use them. Why do I use them? Because, well, I can't really grow a beard. It takes me forever. It looks ridiculous. So I want to make sure that it's shaved properly, so I look somewhat presentable when I'm going to the Heat games. You can check out Harry's as well. German engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. Customizable delivery options for scheduled refills as low as $2, half of what you pay for the other big brands. And you can get a 5-blade razor, a weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com /5. That's right. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/5. Again, that's harrys.com/5 for a $3 trial set.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Right. And look, shout out to Thomas and Patty for trying to hold their own. Like, they've been they're a kind of a victim of being put in those tough situations as well. Like, they're not in perfect lineups to be optimized either. Not that, you know, they like Patty had a tough game, and Thomas has been scoring in the interior lately. So, you know, he's not, and he hit a three today, so he's not really a stretch big, but you got to be happy that he is at least scoring for you down low. If he's going to be taking up space, like getting the buckets there, kind of just having him as a threat down there is better than nothing. You got to give some props to Haywood for hitting some threes tonight and playing some great defense. Like you said, Caleb played great defense, but too many turnovers from him, too many turnovers from Bam and Terry. And I just think that was kind of, you know, a little bit hard to overcome when a lot of the you know, these guys that you're playing a ton of minutes tonight are making so many mistakes, because Bam otherwise like had a great game. You know, and that's just kind of where I stand with it. Sorry for talking so much. Major, I'm going to get to you next. What do you feel as far as the way that this game played out down the stretch? Anything you wanted to add as far as your overall thoughts? And again, sorry to come with like a depressing question, because I know down the stretch isn't exactly the most exciting topic, but what are your thoughts?
No, yeah, I thought, other than that first quarter where I said that I thought the rotations were poor. I thought the defense was pretty good. They're really active, especially Caleb and DeLon. I thought both of them were really active and made things difficult on everyone not named Maxie. But for the purpose of like at the end of the fourth and in the fourth, their defense really turned it up. And I thought their defense was pretty solid. It was just like the offense was holding them back. And like, I feel like we say that every time. But they were searching for foul calls and they're not getting them. The refs have clearly changed across the whole NBA on how they're calling fouls. Any game you watch now, there's just a lot of contact not being called. But also, I think you're not also going to get those foul calls whenever you're having bad offensive processes. So they're having bad offensive processes. No one's moving. One person has the ball and it's like, try to create a shot. And to Brady's point, you're playing the best when Bam had the ball. And like, I've talked about this numerous times, even in last playoffs where they made the comeback against the Bucks and things like that, where they made big runs. It was Bam had the ball and he was being a facilitator as well as a scorer and just being decisive in his actions. And today we saw in the first quarter, he was doing that exact same thing. Bam was everywhere. Bam was incredible for, you know, the first half. He had those two horrible turnovers at the start of the third quarter, but other than that was doing great the whole game, and then just didn't touch the ball at the end. I don't get going away from your identity like that and what is clearly your best option to win the game, as we saw even in that game of him absolutely dominating. And for a half of the game was outplaying Maxie, in my opinion. And then just the Heat were just like, oh, no, we're not going to give you the ball. It just made absolutely no sense. I feel like that should be corrected at least in a timeout. You know, it's like a 4-point game with 5 minutes left or something like that, and you still not giving the ball to Bam. It just doesn't make any sense to me.
It was perplexing, man. I don't know why he didn't touch the ball in that fourth quarter when he was easily their best player throughout the game. Like, it's not like other guys were going off. Like, Terry had his moments, right, but had an inefficient game overall with the turnovers and with the shooting. And, you know, more turnovers and assists, which has not been the case for Terry throughout his tenure. He's been really good about that, even with the shooting kind of being up and down throughout this time. And, you know, it's just a lot of things, you know, didn't go well for them tonight. Like, their mid-range shooting was not good. Like I mentioned before, 42% at the rim, which is first percentile, which means worst in the league, right? And it's just hard to overcome those things. Like I mentioned before, the missed free throws and the turnovers. Like, it's too much to overcome on the road while you're missing a ton of guys. Not to keep, you know, hammering home the same points, but like that's a lot of stuff. That's a lot of stuff that you could have controlled. And again, like they're just usually so good at holding on to the ball. The Sixers are not like the Orlando Magic who just force you into a bunch of turnovers, right? That's not what they do. So it's on them. You know, you can't win them all, but this would have been a really nice one to win. And with that, we're going to move on to the A Aggressive Insurance Play of the Night.
And now it's time for the Insurance by Lynette Play of the Night, sponsored by InsuranceByLynette.com at A Aggressive Insurance Agency. You can reach out to our friend Lynette at 954-581-8800. That's 954-581-8800 or InsuranceByLynette.com. That's InsuranceByLynette.com with two N's and two T's. Your best play for auto insurance, homeowners insurance, condo insurance, life insurance, or a retirement program. Reach out to Lynette at InsuranceByLynette.com.
All right. So I know, you know, it's hard to come up with one, but we went over it before the show and I'm going to lob it up to you guys to talk about it and this development. But the play of the night is going to be two separate plays that occurred in two separate points. Bam, continuing the streak and hitting not one, but two threes in this game. Hit one early on in the first quarter. And then one later on in the game, you know, very much in rhythm, in the flow of the offense. It's clearly not like the first option. I don't think Bam is some high volume stretch big now. But again, if you can take those in the flow of the offense and kind of other things are not working and it's wide open for you, I think they're fine with that. I don't think Spo is one to encourage bigs to shoot the ball. Like you've seen that a lot with their backups. You've seen it with Bam. You know, outside of Love and Olynyk, most of the other guys, I don't think they've been encouraged to shoot. And it's like, other than these wide open in rhythm ones, right? I think that's just kind of what it's been. And so Bam, having the confidence to take them to me, it doesn't completely change everything because I don't think defenses are going to be like worried about that. But it does like make you second guess, even if just it's, you know, a little bit, right? It's like, okay, he can make that above the break one. And I think he ended up making a corner one, which is as the second one. So we don't have to make this a whole thing, but it is fun to talk about because it's like one of the only things that was positive about tonight. Very weird night as far as like their 3-point shooting, because like I said, that was the only area of the floor that they shot okay. But even then, it was Bam hitting two, Haywood, I think, what was it, hit three? I don't have that number in front of me, and Thomas hit one as well. So like the 3-point shooting was comprised of, you know, your typical non-shooters making a lot of them. And like Brady mentioned before, Duncan not getting going before he was out of the game didn't help. Patty didn't really get going there, even though he closed the game. And you know, I really like his effort. That's also another tough thing to overcome is the size there. But enough for me. Brady, what did you think about, you know, Bam and kind of this development?
I mean, aside from the fourth quarter topic that we just had, I mean, it seems like after what we were talking about a week and a half ago with his confidence in the issues in the Dallas game and kind of the issues he was having, it just feels like his confidence is peaking, where you could kind of see that with the 3-point shooting. You can see that. I think the corner one is one that surprised me a little more because he's kind of been confident with the above the break one, which I've been saying over time, I feel like moves the needle way more than the corner shot. The corner shot doesn't really do much for me specifically. It's not really operates. It's not really where, you know, teams are, it's easier for you to pull away from there than the top of the key. It feels like you could do more there. But then he followed it up a little bit later with another above the break one. So at 5 for 5 over the last four games, to your point about like the second guessing, the thing is, if he keeps hitting it, like teams are not going to adjust to it unless it's very high volume. Like unless it's happening over like a consistently high volume, like teams are going to basically say like, okay, you want to shoot that shot? Like you're there, like, okay, take it again. So they're going to like, they're not going to overreact to it. Like that's kind of the big thing. So he's going to pretty much have it pretty decently open if he wants it. And I felt like he had like an opportunity actually late in the fourth to take a three and he swung it to the left wing and ended up in a miss. But it was like, I don't think the guy's going to be taking clutch time. Even though he did in the last game, but like clutch time, like rhythm above the break threes on spot ups. Like, I don't think that's the point we're at, but it is good to see. Like the whole point was like, this is never going to just like, okay, Bam's a shooter now. Like this is always going to be a thing that slowly happens over time. It's going to slowly just increase over and over. and we're at the beginning stages. We're finally hitting that stage where he's confident enough. He builds up his mid-range game as much as possible. He's kind of maximized that in a way that he feels like he's hit kind of all his gadgets in that range. And now he's kind of expanding his range a little bit. He's kind of just being able to just, just shoot him a little bit more and see just how the defense reacts. So, and I said it before, like, the reason it's not just like, okay, we want Bam to shoot threes because, oh, he shot a three. Like, the reason I feel like is more so the fact of what he can do, the things that, like, Spo can run for him. And the biggest thing is the Duncan Bam stuff. Like, the fact that Duncan's developed his game to the point where, you know, he's not just a shooter anymore and he can kind of generate paint touches and get to the rim and finish down there and do all that stuff. The final level to this entire Duncan Bam two-man game is the Bam three. It's the fact that you can run like pick and pops and you can kind of leverage the two of their abilities to your advantage and do that type of stuff. So that's, we're talking about this in March that we're probably not going to see that this season. Like, this is, once again, feels like something down the line, but there's always a good topic to have a starting point. So like for his starting point, Alex, to be 5 for 5 from three over four games is not the worst thing in the world.
For sure, man. It's fun to see, and it's given us something to talk about here, kind of in this weird point in the season where it's winding down and it's looking like at this point that they might end up in the play-in tournament again, right? Like, that's obviously not settled yet. There's still some time to get out of there. But, this is one of those wins that would have really helped, right? And, the Knicks are playing tonight, and there's, other teams are going to affect that as well. But this is one that you had at hand. And again, the circumstances weren't great with the amount of guys you're missing. But before we get to that, Major, is there anything you wanted to add as far as Bam and the three-point development? And if there's just anything that's kind of popped up throughout your mind as we've been talking that you wanted to add to this kind of depressing game?
Yeah, I mean, with Bam shooting threes, I released a video a little bit ago saying Bam should not shoot threes, and then he suddenly starts. So maybe he just does whatever I say don't do. But, I mean, if he's making them, he should take them, right? If they're going to be all the way behind the free throw line, like, at that point, it's almost a disservice to not take the threes, because then they can just pack the paint. And yes, he's increased his mid-range, and I think he's way better than the statistics show on his mid-range shooting because he relies on it too much. But a worst-case scenario, you got to take one step in and shoot that shot at the top of the free throw line. You can't just hold it looking around waiting. I mean, we've seen that with countless other players. That's when the offense gets in big trouble, once they figure out you're never going to take it. He's starting to take it. I think he has a really good form. It's real smooth and it's replicable. So, I mean, I don't have any concerns about him not being able to ever make threes at a pretty decent clip, at a respectable clip. So if they're open, I'm fine with him taking them. If he's going to take them confidently and like fluid, not like hesitation, like, I guess I'll just take it. But if he walks into it, just take it. Don't second guess yourself or anything like that. Just yep. Pull up, take it, shoot it. If you make it, awesome. If you don't, just move on to the next one. He can't start thinking about it. That's when he gets in trouble. When you can see Bam start thinking about what he's going to do on the court, that's when he gets into trouble and he gets way too predictable. When he's free-flowing in the offense, including the threes have been the past four games, they've been free-flowing. That's when he's at his best, and that's when he's, no ceiling Bam.
I couldn't agree more. It's always been a central theme to his game, and we've obviously talked about it here for years when it comes to just kind of playing in the flow of the offense, not hesitating, with whatever it is that you're doing out there. Now the three is, it's the same thing, right? Like, if I see him hesitate before taking a three, like, that's not going to make me feel good about it. Like, I just think he plays so much better when he's not thinking twice and just playing in the flow of the game. I think where we're going to wrap it up. Before we do, let's get to the Eric Rubenstein injury report.
And now it's time for the official 5 on the Floor injury report, sponsored by our friend Eric Rubenstein, the personal injury attorney. Born and raised in Lauderdale, Florida, lives in Miami, went to St. Thomas. He's a South Florida guy and a huge Miami Heat fan. But the important thing is he can help you get your money that you deserve when something happens to you. So reach out to our guy, Eric Rubenstein. Again, ericrubenstein.com, or ask about me. I got you on Instagram. And now, the injury report.
So the injury report, man, has that been a busy one lately? And we've, mentioned it throughout the pod, but Jimmy was questionable to play today, ended up being out. Ethan said that he thought he was going to play today, so everybody, you can go and tweet at Ethan and blame Ethan with that for jinxing it once again. But no, in all seriousness, missing Jimmy. Tyler continues to be out with a foot injury, although he did tweet, you know, an interesting – I'm sorry, it wasn't a tweet. It was on his Instagram, if I remember correctly. I've never sounded older in my life. But, you know, he kind of hinted, like, if he's going to come back soon with the Instagram. It's kind of what I took from it. I don't know if you guys took something different. It's not what I wanted to get the show into, but if you have any thoughts there, you can comment. Love is still out. Jovic continues to be out with the hamstring situation. And, of course, Jay Rich with the separated shoulder. I think that's everybody, right?
Yeah, okay. And I think that the Jovic thing, somebody had said it's not that serious, where he kind of felt like he could have played previously, I think even in the last game. So, I mean, that's a pretty good sign. And I feel like the Love thing, I keep saying it, but I feel like they just want that guy healthy in the playoffs. Like, yeah, they need him right now. We all understand that. Like, they could very well use him to win games. But, like, imagine not having that guy in the playoffs. Like, he's so important to them that it's almost like take as much time, because you don't want him to do like look what OG Anunoby did, where he came back and now he's out again because they feel like it's going to flare back up. Like, you do not want a situation like that with Love. You want him to just take his time, be fully healthy, and come back around playoff time.
For sure. I mean, that's just we've been talking about that throughout the season, and it's just like, you know, shout out Thomas Bryant for stepping in there and doing his best. Kevin Love is needed for sure. So I'm glad that he's getting some rest, and you just, you know, hope that most of these guys who are pretty much rotation players for you and some important ones too, like you hope that everybody's good to go for the playoffs. And a lot of it seems up in the air, like with Tyler. I mean, you know for a fact Jay Rich isn't coming back. And I forgot to mention Duncan. I know I said it earlier, but for the injury report, I forgot to mention Duncan going out, I want to say third quarter, with what they called back discomfort, and they said he wasn't going to return. He didn't. So don't know. I haven't seen any updates yet on, like, Spo quotes, you know, after the game. Hopefully that's not anything too serious, because Duncan has been hugely important, hugely reliable for them. So, you know, just got to hope everybody comes back soon. And with that, we are going to wrap it up. Major, thank you so much for joining. Brady, thank you for joining. And thank you to, again, the 1,200 people watching live. I thought that was just a result of the game winner last game, which is a whole lot of fun. But you guys tuned in after a loss on a Monday night, you know, kind of depleted to a Sixers team, you know, to a rival. So thank you guys for tuning in. And, you know, before we go, if you haven't already, check us out on Playback. We watch the games there, have a great time. Like, for example, that Bam game winner, for example, was, you know, that's one of the funnest moments I've had covering the game on Playback and watching it with everybody. Playback.tv/5RSN, or download the app. And you can watch it with us. If you haven't already, check out our Discord server, our off-the-floor Discord server. It's in the description to this on YouTube. It's going to be pinned to the Five Reasons Twitter account. It's in the description on all the podcast episodes, including this one. So check it out if you haven't. Scroll down after you click the link, is, you know, because hitting join server doesn't do anything but gets you kind of like that preview mode. So quick heads up for everybody. And, you know, we're giving you a lot of the coverage there as far as our insights, stats. You're getting all the chats with everybody on different subjects, you know, Heat, NBA, music, and it's active as hell. And people, you know, arguing with each other about Tyler Hero and who should be playing, who should not be playing. If that sounds like your type of sports coverage and consumption, check out our off-the-floor Discord server. Again, thank you guys for tuning in. Have a good night.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.